most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and tips and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you're interested. So you have to listen every single week, or at least go to our website and check out who the guests are. Now, which leads me to my next thing. If you want to check out our past guests and read their bios and listen to their interview instantly and even download, yes, you can download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, which is latalkradio.com. If you are listening to this interview live, you are already there. Just go to the top, click on the link that says Channel 1, scroll down and look for our show, Question Reality, click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page. And there we have a whole list of all of our guests we've been on for since 2008. And thank goodness gracious, we have become so popular that I am booked until May of next year. We're usually booked now about 6 months to a year in advance. I have to beat them off with a stick. No, no, wait. But it's really great, so thank you so much. We have fans all over the world. In Russia, I just got a call from a guy in Slovenia last week. Just wonderful. And I love the emails that we get, and I love the questions for our guests. So thank you so much, and thank you for making us so popular. So we are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and we're also on a website called Stitcher.com. So you just type in Question Reality Radio, and there we are. You can listen to all the shows and download them as well. And if you want to find out about future guests, you're going to go to a different website, our official website, and that is QuestionRealityShow.com, QuestionRealityShow.com. Now, as always, we have fantastic, exciting guests that people are just digging and dying to find out a little bit about and to hear their voice and have me ask weird questions. But this particular guest, he is too professional and too James Bond for me to ask weird questions. We are going to do totally professional this week. We have celebrity actor, hot stud muffin himself, Jay Hughley, on the show today. He is hotter than hot. Go to IMDb and look this cat up, because he is just, your claws will be coming out when you see this little hottie. He is just much. But we have it now. Jay Hughley, if you're not familiar with him, which I don't know why you wouldn't be if you are trolling for hot looking actors, this is the one you want to know about. He has appeared in The Young and the Restless, as well as Brothers and Sisters, and some of my favorite shows, Drop Dead Diva, Breaking In, Army Wives. My God, he's been on all the hot shows. And he will be appearing tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Woo, 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 woo. Tonight on HBO at 10 o'clock on Treme, that's such a fancy word, isn't it? Treme. And he plays Will Branson, who is a real estate developer. And again, tonight at 10 o'clock on HBO, he just also finished shooting Steve McQueen's new film, 12 Years a Slave. And that has Brad Pitt and Michael Fassbender in it and Paul Giamatti, one of my favorite actors as well. Just added Jay Hughley as the new favorite actor, but love Paul Giamatti from back in the day. And he is also, Jay is also in the pre-production phase of a new film called Joe's Mountain. Now, we don't know what that's about. So we are going to hopefully dig and find out what is going on and maybe the release date. Maybe he can give us some secret information. Maybe not, but we try. So without further ado, let's welcome him. Hello, Jay Hughley. Are you there?
Hi, Priscilla. Yeah, I've never been described as two James Bond before. I like that.
Well, you certainly are, because I tell you, I do a lot of research on my guests to make sure that I know them as much as I can. And I saw you in a clip with a man who my husband is so feverishly jealous of, David James Elliott. Oh, I went crazy when I saw him on JAG, and I saw you in a scene with him. And David James Elliott used to be the one for me, Jay, until I saw you next to him. And
he's,
I said, oh, no, David's out. Jay is in. No, you're a very, very, very handsome, attractive, leading man. So,
well, thank you.
You are very James Bond. Now, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. I know it's very exciting for you tonight with the season premiere of Tremé. Now, again, I do not know what – I mean, I know that the series focuses on the drama, which people are facing in New Orleans, the residents after the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. But I want you to tell us, for the people who may not be familiar with the show, what's it all about? Who does it star? Give us some scoops.
You know, it's about, Priscilla, it's really about people's lives in New Orleans after the storm. And I, first of all, I want to correct you. I'm not on tonight. The season comes back tonight, but I come in at episode 4. And then I'll be on it for the rest of the season. But
oh, thank you for that.
Yeah. But they premiere tonight, and you know, it's about a chef and a musician and a lawyer and just people's regular lives in New Orleans and how they put them back together after Katrina. It's a really beautiful, beautiful show.
Oh, well, see, I think that people should get started watching it tonight.
The people
who may not have watched it before, that way they can be all prepped and prepared for when you come on in episode 4.
Exactly. And you know, this season is really about when the money came back to New Orleans. You know, the first season was about when the people came back to New Orleans, and then the second season was sort of about when the crime came back to New Orleans, and then this season is when the money came back to New Orleans, and if that went to the right places, and when it did and when it didn't, and it's just, I think it's going to be a fascinating season.
Now, I did research on this, and I found out that it's going to return tonight for 10 episodes, but apparently it usually premieres in the spring. Is that correct? But HBO chose to start Game of Thrones earlier than last year, and also pair it with the two new half season series.
They did, and you know, then they pushed Tremé until the fall to be on after Boardwalk Empire, which I think a lot of people like that idea even better. So I don't think anybody was upset about that at all.
I think that was a great move for you guys, because apparently that is a huge, huge, huge show.
Yeah.
And I have not, again, I am going to be lobbying for HBO and Showtime. I still am going to get it one day, but I do hear that Boardwalk Empire is huge, and it's a great show. So I think that was very fortuitous for you guys. Now, I also understand that Tremé will be adding two new characters in its third season. Sam Robards from The West Wing will portray a restaurant investor, and Chris Coy from True Blood will be on board as a character based on reporter A.C. Thompson. How do you feel about that? Did you get a chance to act with them or do any?
Priscilla, I didn't. You know, they're very, very tight with the scripts at Tremé, and they, you know, they just don't want you to know too much, and they don't want too much to be out there, and so. you know, it's sort of like the way I've heard Woody Allen works. It's like you just get your pages at first. And my storyline is very much a part of the sort of the music and the jazz storyline of New Orleans. So I worked mostly with an incredible actor named Rob Brown and an incredible actor named Clark Peters. And so we were all very, very separate. I heard, you know, Elizabeth, Isabel Rossellini is on this season also, and some other just, you know, great actors. But, you know, I just go in and do my days. And so you're very, very separate from everybody else, which is, you know, sort of interesting.
Now, we are going to come back to talking about Treme, but let's get into what you feel about things and some career advice that you could give to the audience. First of all, I always start this question off because people, at least my audience, they always want to know what the person wanted to be as a child. Did they see themselves being an actor, singer, dancer, model, musician? So as a, when Jay Hughley was a little teeny weeny James Bond in
with a teeny weeny gun in his hand.
Yes. His little necktie. What did you want to do professionally? What did you want or see yourself doing? You know how we see ourselves doing stuff.
Yeah.
What did you see yourself doing?
You know, I was always an athlete. I was a swimmer, but I was always, any chance I got, I was doing, you know, the school play. And, you know, I started to, you know, by the time I got to high school and college, I started taking directing classes, and I was always, you know, taking art classes. And by the time I got to college, I started to take acting more seriously. And, you know, I was in every school play, and, but, you know, you're sort of trained to think that, gosh, I couldn't really make a career of this, could I? I mean, this is just something really, really fun I'm doing on the side. And it wasn't until, you know, I started to get a few little jobs after college, like commercials and little parts on soap operas and stuff like that. And then I started to get paychecks that a little bell went off in my head that, you know, maybe I could actually, if I work really, really hard, make a career of this. But I think ultimately I always wanted to be an actor.
Well, I saw on, and then you have to tell me if this is correct because sometimes people add things. I saw on IMDb that you had attended the University of London where you studied political science and that you also lived in Paris in the early 90s. Is that true?
That's very true. I did a year at the University of London. I was studying at American University in Washington, D.C. I was studying politics, and then I did a year at the University of London studying politics there. And I thought it was going to be politics for me for a little while. But then, I think I started to get, a little bit closer to, you know, interviewing for jobs in politics, and I just started to think about acting a lot more. And that I literally had that one day where I said to myself, what am I doing? I always wanted to be an actor. And so I think I just started, auditioning, and, you know, I called a friend of mine who was a director that was doing a play in New York, and I went and I auditioned for him, and I really made the decision to go for it.
Well, acting would have been what perfect classes to take if you would have continued on with political science. I mean, all the acting classes you can get, right?
It's so true. I mean, people always make those analogies that they are so close together, and it's, you know, you really can't find two things that are closer together. They really are.
Well, except being a lawyer, you need acting classes for that as well. I mean, when
that's
you do your summations, they actually now are telling lawyers, they're advising future lawyers, students, that they should be taking acting classes along with their law classes because it's very helpful. You got to get up there and convince someone. It takes acting skills. Now, so you could have, Jay Hughley, been president Jay Hughley.
Of the United States.
Yes, you could. Not
Absolutely.
Only could you have been James Bond, you could have been President Jay Hughley, too.
I think those are two very good other options that I could have followed.
Yes, it is true. And, well, what did you do when you were living in Paris in the early 90s? What was going on over there? Were you, breaking hearts over there?
No, you know, I had been doing some modeling in New York and, you know, and making a little bit of side money that way. And I got offered a contract to go over there. And, you know, when I graduated from college, I had sat down with my father, and he, you know, we were talking about options of work, and he said, you know, you should just go live for a little while before, you know, the work thing kicks into gear. So I did. I moved to Paris, and I lived in the 17th arrondissement, and I learned French, and I worked for a little while and ate a lot of great food. I drank a lot of wine. It was really, really nice.
Oh, you're leaving out all the juicy parts. You're being too conservative, Jay. You're not,
yeah.
not giving us any of your wild tantamount things going on in Paris.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to hear
that out. Well, no. So what you're saying now? So you're saying your family, for what you're saying from your dad, was he supportive when you told him that you wanted to be an actor? Did you get support from your family?
You know, I really did, Priscilla. I'm the youngest of three boys, and I feel like both of my older brothers did everything right. You know, they got jobs right out of college, and they worked very hard, and they had success pretty quickly. And I think by the time they got to me, you know, they were sort of like, you know, you should do what you want and follow your dreams. And I think my brothers both having a lot of success took a lot of pressure off me.
Ah, yeah.
And I think I was very honest with my parents from a young age for whatever reason. I think, you know, I was the youngest, and I really wanted to pursue my dreams, and I was very vocal about that. And I think they really, to their credit, they really listened to me.
But you did graduate college with a degree in political science, is that right?
Actually, my degree ended up turning into a degree in communication. So I was, you know, I was going to maybe work for like C-SPAN or CNN or, you know, but sort of with the political side of things.
Well,
you know,
there
either
you
as a
see.
Journalist or a reporter or on air or, you know, something in that vein.
I can see you as another Tom Brokaw, too. There are so many things, Jay Hughley, that you could have been in this world. Okay, so I know that there's no magic formula for success in any profession, yeah. But what would you say is the formula, to the best of your knowledge, what would you say is the formula that does work to make you a successful working actor?
I mean, I think, you know, I talk to a lot of young actors now, and I think, you know, it's a couple things. I think that you have to give up your expectations that things are going to happen big and quickly, and, you know, that it is a long process. You know, it does happen that people get discovered right away, and then all of a sudden they're on a series, and they're rich at, you know, 21. And, you know, it does happen every once in a while, but it's very rare. You know, what happens mostly is you study hard and you work hard and you audition and you go on 100 auditions and then you get one. And then you go on 100 more and you get two. And then, but it's all about, you know, working hard. And, you know, when I came to L.A., I just did every little play I could get my hands on and small little theaters. And, you know, Elia Kazan, the great director, wrote this great book called A Life, and he always talks about that an actor should be able to or should have done every job in the theater. You should have swept theaters. You should have been a stage manager, assistant director, and because I think you should learn every part of the business and know how much work goes into it. And I think I learned very early on that rejection was going to be very much a part of my life, and that I just had to study. I got into an acting class right away. I became part of an acting community. You know, I became part of a theater company, so I had lots of support from other actors. And I just worked very hard on auditioning, and, you know, and then slowly, slowly it started to happen, which was, and I think that's mostly, it's about not giving up a lot of it too, you know. And I always say, if you can do something else, do it, because this is a very unique life.
It is.
It really is, and you have to be able to. You know, I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and it was really stupid, but I loved it. It said, "Champions are the ones that get back up the quickest."
Ooh.
And I love that, because I think that's a real metaphor for an acting career. It's, you know, because I've been doing this however many years now, and I've had every version of disappointment. But then 2 weeks later, something kind of great happens. And then you're on a 3 weeks after that, you're on a film set with someone you've always wanted to work with and mm-hmm. getting to play a great character. And so you just have to be able to roll with it.
You do. I mean, I tell you, I have all different types of actor friends, and they have different viewpoints and different philosophies. Some of them can't handle rejection, and they spiral into a deep depression, which yeah. I don't even understand, because I think you should look at it like, okay, well, I didn't get that part. It has nothing to do necessarily with what I did or how I looked. It's just what they were feeling. They just weren't feeling it. So right. it's nothing against you, and they take it so personally. They, right. You just weren't what they were looking for. Move on.
When you really learn the reasons why you don't get a job, and you know, I made an effort to do that early on too. It's astonishing. You know, I mean, it very, very often comes down to he's too tall, or he's too short, or he doesn't really look like he would be married to her, or he doesn't really look like he would be his son, or he's too East Coast, or too California, or, you know, reads too intelligent, or, it's just, there's a million reasons why you might not have gotten the part, and very often it's not because you weren't good, you know?
Exactly.
And you have to be... Look, I mean, if you're getting really depressed and going into a dark spiral every time you don't get an acting job, you got to figure out something.
You got to get another job, because
you got to get another job or figure that part out really quick. Because it's a long life.
You cannot let yourself spiral into a depression, because they're not out to get you. They're not out to attack you. Believe me, when you walk into an audition, what they want is to get the role cast. They're excited. They're like, oh, my God, please let this be the one. They're right. hoping for you. They're pulling for you. They want you to get it, because that's one less person that they have to worry about casting. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. I remember hearing I'm quoting some famous actor now, and I don't remember who it is, but I remember someone asking him in an interview one time, like, how do you deal with all the rejection? And he said, well, it's all rejection. I mean, that's my job. I get rejected every single day, and then all of a sudden, I get one, and yeah. that makes it worth it, you know?
Yeah, that one little thing. You got to think of it as Russian roulette. I mean, you have to be a person that you can't be low risk. There are high risk people, and there are low risk people. If you're a person who's low risk, then you probably should think of another career, because this is high risk. It's like playing Russian roulette. You go into the audition, and you survive and get the part, or bang, you're dead and you move on.
Right.
You revive yourself, and then you go on to the next one. So
exactly. And you know, I mean, I'm still in acting. I go to acting class every Saturday. I've been in the same class for more than 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the most important thing is, while you're on this journey of not getting the part, not getting the part, not getting the part, and then getting the part, and then not getting the part, that all along this way, you're slowly getting better and better as an actor.
That's right.
So that when these opportunities come up, you're 25% better than you were 5 years ago. And I think that's always really, really important.
Yeah,
you're never done. You know, a painter doesn't just stop painting one day and say, I'm done. You know, you keep growing.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, as an actor, what do you enjoy most and like least?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, you know, the thing I enjoy most is a challenge. I mean, a great part. And that can be on some procedural cop TV show or in a small play in a small theater. But a really good character, where there's an arc to it, when there's a turn, and when you really have to do some research and sink your teeth into the part. And I think that's the... that's the best feeling of all, when it's work, when it's the part is a challenge and it's exciting.
What you like least?
What I like least is the, you know, I'll be honest.
I like
torture.
Honest. Come on, I'm East Coast. Tell me the honesty.
It's torture waiting for that call.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you got it. I mean, You know, and sometimes if they're already shooting or if they're replacing an actor or if they're just casting before they start and then they don't need you for another 3 weeks and, you know, you can read for something and then they bring you back to meet everybody and you feel like it goes really well and everyone seems excited and they're asking if you're available and then you don't hear anything for 3 weeks.
Oh, I know.
That's when, you know, you have to switch into some gear that you have to come up with.
And then when you audition and then they put you on hold and then there's like some other parts that you can get, but you're on hold for that part. It must drive you crazy.
Yes. And they have all these new expressions for that. Like, I have a pin in me, which means I guess your headshot is pinned up on the wall and that can go on for a day or it can go on for 3 weeks. And it's, you really have to just somehow, and that's the hardest part for me, is to just turn your brain off and move on.
Ah, they have a pen in me. Yeah, I get picture picked a lot. I'm like, picture picked? The first time I heard that, I was like, what does that mean?
Oh, what does that even mean?
The picture, I know, what does that mean, picture pick? Oh, you were picture picked by the director, the casting director. And I'm like, oh, great, what does that mean? All I knew is it sounded good. It was picture picked by the director. And, you know, I'm a specialty actress. I get called for special parts because I'm a little fluffy. I'm a fluffy actress. So I like to call myself Fluffy. There are other words people call me, but I just like to go with Fluffy. And I just did a part on Glee, a little small part, but I got what was most rewarding. That is so true about there are no small parts, only small actors. Anybody thinks that it's a small part. I was thrilled beyond belief when I got picture picked by Eric Stoltz, who I met at a party way back in 2000 when I was in David Schwimmer's movie. So when I show up on the set, he's like, oh, I know you. I'm like, yes, you do. We talked for almost a half an hour with Steve Perry, and I sang, and Steve Perry laughed because I couldn't sing in tune. He's like, oh, yes, yes, yes. So I said, is that why you picture picked me? And he's like, I think it is. See, he met me, and I looked familiar to him. So,
yes.
You know, sometimes when you get picture picked, it's because maybe they met you at a party. So networking is very important, going out
Absolutely.
And keeping yourself out there and meeting directors and meeting people constantly. A lot of actors don't like to do it. They tell me, I don't like it. I hate it. But tell us how important that is, Jay.
I think it's really, really important. And, you know, it's like what I was talking about before about becoming part of a community out here. You know, I think I always tell young actors, if you're moving to LA to start a career as an actor, you've got to become a part of an acting community in whatever that means, whether you become part of a theater company or you join an acting class, because all these young actors that you're coming up with, they're going to be directors and on sets and producers and writers and, you know, and everybody uses everybody for things and everybody remembers everybody. And then, you know, I think it's really important to put yourself out there in the right way, you know, so that people remember you.
Don't go up and harass the director and start doing that, you know, oh, my God, you know how people – one of my pet peeves is name droppers. Boy, directors hate that. Casting directors hate that. Don't go dropping names. If you work with someone, if they're interested in you, they'll find out, for God's sakes.
They don't care who you know. And I also think, you know, directors and producers a lot of the times like to feel like they've discovered you, you know.
Exactly.
You know, they don't care what famous person that you know.
Yeah, don't go saying, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. No, don't do that. Yeah. Don't embarrass yourself. It'll turn them off and they'll go the other way. So for sure.
Yeah.
Now, how has being an actor changed your viewpoint professionally and personally in the past 10 years?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, too.
You know, because, when we started out, or some people started out, they just thought, okay, well, hot damn, I'm going to be a star or a celebrity. And, you know, I don't really think personally you should go into this business with your goal being a star or a celebrity just for the money and fame. You really should do it for the love of the craft. But, hey, you meet all kinds. And if that's what they want to go for, they're not going to turn down the money, right? But you start out with a certain viewpoint of where you want to be in 5 years, 10 years. And as you go on, your viewpoint must change, right, on the business and professionally and personally. So for you, how has it changed professionally and personally in the past, say, 10 years, 20 years, however many years?
I mean, I honestly think you're right. If you come into this business wanting to be famous, I think that's a really bad idea.
Yeah,
because it is so rare that that happens.
Yes.
But if you come into this business wanting to be an actor and grow as an actor and play good parts and, you know, then I think, you know, as long as you work hard, you have a great shot. I mean, I've loved the journey of being an actor for the last 15 years. And, you know, the parts I play keep getting a little bit better. And that's really the highlight for me, is that the parts are getting better. And, you know, whatever.
So do you look more positively now on the business than you did 15 years ago? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I think the more and more you're in the business and the more and more you strive to understand the business, the more positively you'll look at it. You know, I don't expect, you know, I think when I was younger, I first got into the business, I just expected things to come at me, you know. I expected people
right.
to cast me in things and seek me out.
Because you were young and hot, modeling in Paris. Of course,
well,
this is what you thought, for God's sakes.
But as we both know, you know, that is a dime a dozen everywhere. And
that's true. Everybody's in a pair of Calvin Klein underwear now these days. My God, the hotties are a dime a dozen. So you really got to, I mean, looks will get you so far, but
right.
you got to have the talent. You really
got to have the talent, and you have to have a point of view on
yes.
on the character that you're reading for, you know, and it's something that's different and something that wakes them up, and you know, so.
If you
I
could,
mean, I.
If
what's
you,
that?
If you could go back in time when you were starting out in your career, is there anything that you would do differently?
I would have asked people more questions. I think I would have gotten more advice from actors in the business. And you know, when I first moved out here, I just, you know, I think I was young. I thought I was cool. I thought it was going to happen right away and quickly. And you know, and I think that if I had really sat down with some smart people that have been in the career been in the business for a long time, and asked all the really important questions about what I should be doing and that's what I would have done differently, I think.
Very good answer, because you might fall into the category of thinking that you possibly maybe knew what you wanted to do and you were going to do things your way and that you didn't
right.
need any advice. And we all need advice. And, you know, even a lot of people I find out here, and again, I'm from the East Coast, so I have a different mentality. When I came out here, it was very different. I was culture shocked when I moved out here. But I found that a lot of people, because when I came out here, I started UCLA in the film and acting class. And I found that people just thought they knew everything. And they were in the same class that I was. I'm like, well, where are they going? Where are they
right.
coming from? We're all in the same class. But you should just, you know, we don't be afraid to ask a person. Some people think that they only want to ask advice from people, say, on the level of Robert De Niro or Meryl Streep. But you know what? There are people who can give you advice who are not Meryl Streep and Robert De Niro, and you're not going to have access and probably to them anyway in your early career. So why don't you ask the actor who's been acting in theater for 20, 30 years? I'm sure you
absolutely.
Have the same.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, I think, you know, I particularly have a problem of asking for advice and asking, you know, because I just, you know, I think I was raised that you just don't bother people. You don't, you know. But I learned very quickly that people want to be asked.
Yeah.
Advice, you know, and people want to help. They really do. They remember when they needed a leg up, and there's a lot of people out there that are very willing to answer questions and help out.
Absolutely. I mean, people love to talk about themselves. What people love to do? People love to ask, answer questions. They love that. So
absolutely.
some actors never. I find some actors never feel completely satisfied with their work as an actor. They bitch and whine and complain when they see themselves. I could have done it better. I should have done this.
Right.
When do you think a person should an actor should just let themselves feel completely satisfied with their work?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, I was just talking about this with a friend yesterday. You know, the great acting teacher Stanislavski used to talk about the divine dissatisfaction. You know, that's all you really get. It's like, you know, you're never really quite satisfied with what you've done. And what I find is that, you know, I'll be flicking around the channels and I'll see something that I did, you know, 10 years ago, a guest star on Walker, Texas Ranger or something, and I'll think to myself, hey, you know, I'm pretty good on that. I buy what I'm doing, and I... You know, I seem like a cop, and I like my work. And I just remember at the time, just beating myself up, thinking, you know, oh, I don't have the character. I don't, you know, I haven't worked hard enough on this, and I'm not quite getting it. And, you know, I think actors are really, really hard on themselves. But I think, you know, my personal opinion is my technique is to just do a ton of research beforehand and, you know your lines like the back of your hand, and, you know, do as much preparation as you possibly can.
Yes.
And then go in there and let go of all of it.
Let it go, honey. Now, what do you think is, now, this is something that I have gotten so many email questions. I finally said I got the next actor that comes on the show I'm going to ask, because people want to know, what is the secret to getting along with other actors? Oh, my goodness gracious. Do you hear that? My Avast database updater had to interrupt me. I apologize for that. Okay, they want to know, what is the secret to getting along with other cast members? Because my friends, they're actors, and either they have been involved in these disputes or they have witnessed actors just be, you know how it is. What do you think is the secret? And then some cast members, oh, my God, the show runs for 7 years. They get along beautifully. What do you think is the secret to getting along? Along with other cast members so you don't get booted off of the show?
Right. Well, my policy is, however you do it, you have to get it done. I mean, you have got to get along with the actor you're working with. And, you know, that doesn't mean in the back of your mind, and when you go home at night, you have to love the person you worked with that day. But when you are working, you have got to get along with that actor. I worked on something a few years ago, and I immediately, you know, there was another actor that we were working with. We just weren't getting along. I could tell right away.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody told me once, my great acting teacher, Milton Katselis, told me to, when you find yourself in a situation like that, to praise them, you know, to say, hey, you were really great in that take, or you mm-hmm. were, I've always wanted to work with you, or, boy, mm-hmm. wow, this is such a thrill to get to work with you. And that certainly softens them up, and, you know.
Yes, it does.
I think, because at the end of the day, Priscilla, it's you up there on the screen, and if you yep. hate your cast member, it's going to show on you. And
you know, we can see that as an audience. We can see
absolutely.
The chemistry. The camera catches everything. You're not fooling anyone. We know. Even when you see love scenes, you know that they don't like each other. You can tell. You got to make it work. And a compliment will always get the job done, Jay Hughley. You are so
I think it's true.
That.
I think you got to make it happen one way or the other. Because, you know, if you're on something for 7 years, you know, you're going to be miserable or fired. You know.
Yeah, for sure. You're not going to last. You got to find something. There's always one redeemable quality about somebody. I mean, even
exactly.
if they're the most evil person, there's one redeemable quality. So can you give us three characteristic traits that you feel are necessary to make it as a successful actor? Now, patience, I know for sure.
Right.
What else do you think? Three of them.
Well, I think another one would certainly be what we were talking about before, about being able to let the rejection run off your shoulder, you know, to be able to, you know, Al Pacino, I forget, had a great quote, that something like, you know, our job is to go in, do the best we can, and then let go of it.
Right.
That's it. That's it. And just to move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully in 3 days you'll get a call about that thing on Monday and that you got it.
That is
but, you know... You know, as actors, you know, we'll go in. I mean, I've gone on auditions where I wanted it so bad, I got, you know, left there and got in my car, and I'm still doing the audition out loud in my car. Like, you know, you want to go, Jay, it's over, okay? They saw what you did, you know.
And you're in the car, and you're doing it three different ways with three different accents, and then you're like,
you got to let it go.
let it go. Okay, so if you wanted to pursue a career as an actor and you lived in a small town, say in the Midwest, and you were planning to move to a big city to get started, what city would you recommend and why?
Well, you know, Los Angeles is really the only one that I know. I mean, I spent a few years doing theater in New York before I came out here, but, you know, I've been out here so long that this is really the only one I know. But, you know, there's just so much more work out here. You know, there's television, there's soaps, there's movies, there's webisodes, there's, you know, theater. So, I mean, depending on how quickly you want to make your move, If I was living in a small town somewhere in the States, I would start doing local theater as best I can and see how much I like that, and just do as much studying as you possibly can.
Now you did a lot of theater. Did you find that there were a lot of adjustments that you had to make as a theatrical actor to a film actor? Because I know that I have some actor friends who tried to do film and it drove them insane. And they would, of course, they do their line. They're talking so loud to project,
right.
And it was hard for them to pull back. Were there any adjustments that you had to make, or you know?
Yeah, and then you have the opposite sometimes where you're on a set and, you know, you're with an actor who's never done a play and they're just sort of like mumbling and whispering and you can't hear them. And
Right.
I mean, there's a big debate about that, if there's a different style of acting for theater and for film.
I think, Jay, if you want to go into theater, try New York. If you want to do film, try L.A. What do you think?
Right. I think that's right.
I think that's the way to go. And then you can always switch.
Right. And I think it's, you know, it's very hard to make a living as a theater actor. You know, but there's tours and Broadway and everything like that. And you can always switch. You know, you can always, you know, have a career in theater in New York and then come out for pilot season and audition for shows out here and, you know.
Yeah, you're not limited. You can go anywhere you want as long as you got some money to
That's
get on the
bus. That's the beauty of it.
There you go. Now, let's talk about your character on Treme. Who are you? What do you do? Are we going to see you in some saucy love scenes? Because I know I'm getting HBO if you're doing any saucy love scenes.
No, there's no saucy love scenes. You know, I think I have to be kind of careful about revealing any kind of plot stuff here. But
it's going to come tonight. Right, tonight at 10 o'clock HBO. Okay, guys.
Exactly. And my character's name is Will Branson, and I've come to New Orleans as part of a real estate development company, and we are trying to build something in terms of the music industry. So so we're meeting with a lot of the musicians and the city planning, and whether I'm a good guy or a bad guy remains to be seen. But
we have to watch that fourth episode to see what Jay's doing. But but unfortunately, we will not be seeing you shirtless, unfortunately.
No,
right?
I do not take my shirt off.
Any projects in the future where we can see?
There's always... I'm gonna ask if I can just randomly take my shirt off.
Ask, and then shoot me an email or send me. I'm gonna Facebook you, and then you can send me a message, and then that way I can advertise it on the radio. Jay is gonna be shirtless in this project. Everybody watch.
That's right.
Now let's talk about. You just finished shooting 12 Years a Slave. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That is a movie directed by Steve McQueen, who did a movie last year called Shame with Michael Fassbender, and it's from a book by the same name, 12 Years a Slave, and it's fascinating. I mean, it's a fascinating book. It's about a freed northern black man in the 1850s who was kidnapped and then sold into the South, he was educated and could read and write and tries to get letters back to his family. He was had a wife and children, and it's all a true story. And this,
I think I saw a trailer for that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the movie where they have there's a letter and all these different people.
There's not a trailer for this yet because they just finished.
Okay, that was something SAG sent me, and someone was reading a letter and they were a slave back in there, and then they got it. All right, go ahead. So what character do you play? What do you do?
I play, again, I don't want to give too much away.
Oh,
I mean, if you've
okay.
read the book, you know who I am. But I'm play one of the local sort of people that get involved in getting him home. It's a really, really great part.
Can you tell us the character name so we can...
His name is Sheriff Villiers. He's a local sort of like rural Louisiana lawman. Yeah,
oh,
it's really...
I can see it. I'm picturing it now, Jay.
Yeah, it's a great...
Right?
Exactly.
All right, ladies, picture Jay in a gun holster. All right, all right. Now, what about Joe's Mountain? What's going on with that? You're in pre-production for that. What is...
You know, I just did a table read for that, and again, I think it's a pretty tough secret. I don't think the cast is not secure.
Do you see how everything you do is top secret? And initially, I said you were so James Bond. You see?
Exactly.
See? All right, go ahead. Tell us.
It's a director who I really want to work with. His name is Chuck Rose. He's a really brilliant theater director who's done a few plays that I've seen in LA, and this is his first feature. And so I'm really it's a brilliant script. You know, I read so many of these, and there's so few that sort of like really catch your attention on page three. And this is really, really the most beautiful story. I'm really looking forward to it. It's supposed to start at the end of October.
When's it due to? Do you have an approximate release date? Probably next year.
Probably the spring, I would think, or something.
Do we know who's in it, or do we have to go to IMDb?
I think you can go to IMDb, but I don't even know if it's completely locked down who's in it yet.
It's going to be hot.
Yes, really, really, really
it's
great.
It's going to be hot, as the Kardashians say. It's going to be hot, man.
That's right.
Paris says. Any other things that we don't know about coming up, or?
That's it. I mean, I'm supposed to start.
My God! I don't know how you're not tired all the time. My goodness. We got 3 minutes, and I want to talk to you about just a little bit about things like. Okay, so what do you ever get starstruck, and if so, by whom? I want to know who you find fascinating.
Working on Treme was really interesting. After you've lived in LA for long enough, I feel like you start to see everybody at the grocery store and everything like that. So that kind of starts to go away after a little while. But then this interesting thing happens where you start to kind of work with some artists that you've admired for a long time. And working on Treme, I used to be a huge fan of that show on HBO called The Wire. Also created by David Simon, who created Treme. So when I got to the set of Treme, there were all these actors from The Wire, like Clark Peters, and I was pretty starstruck. When you walk onto a set, and I did an episode of Army Wives that another actor from The Wire was on, and he was staying in my hotel, and I'd get on the elevator with him. And so when you're a big fan of someone, and then you get to work with them, that's pretty exciting.
Oh, it is exciting. I mean, I was just telling you about that little part I had on Glee, which my episode comes out next Wednesday. Am I plugging myself? I wasn't even planning on that. I didn't even segue into that. That just came out. But next, I'm so scared, though, Jay Hughley. I love your name. That's why I keep saying your first and last name. Rolls off the tongue. It's like it's supposed to be a mint cologne. It's or James Bond. Jay Hughley is Bond. But anyway, as I was saying, I had this little small part in Glee next Wednesday, the 27th, by the way. And who do I love? Who? Some people want to be Angelina Jolie, or they want to have the career of Angelina Jolie. Charlize Theron. No. Whose career do I want? I've only wanted to have a career like two people. One, Betty White. Two, Jane. Oh my God, I am flipping out. I do not. Oh my God. Oh, Glee. Oh, Judy.
Jane Lynch.
I lost it for a minute because I was thinking, well, I also wanted to be Maud, so I was about to say Bea Arthur, and I just messed up in my, but yeah, oh my God, I love, love, love her. She is my absolute favorite. I've never had an interest in being like, you know, an A-list. So they like to put that tacky A-list thing on there, but one of Angelina Jolie, I want to be like Betty White has had the most miraculous career. I would love to have her career, but you know, Jane Lynch, I got to work with her and I was just so fascinated and I got to speak with her and we talked a little bit and I made her laugh. Me to make Jane Lynch laugh, that my career has come and gone already. And that is like that's like winning an Oscar to me. Now, I've never had a desire for an Oscar. An Emmy. That is like winning an Emmy to make Jane Lynch laugh. And
I think the one time that I was really sort of like brought to my knees is, you know, when I was a kid, when the 1976 version of King Kong came out starring Jessica Lange, and then she was in, you know, Frances and Tootsie. And I just thought she was always the most beautiful, talented person in the world. I just was always just such a huge fan. And I was walking through Central Park not too long ago in New York, and I saw her coming towards me. And I turned to my friend and I said, you're about to either be really, really embarrassed right now so you can run or you can just hang out for this because it's going to get ugly. And I just stopped and I started sort of babbling and I went to shake her hand. And she just kind of laughed in my face. She was really, really sweet, but I was really, really nervous. She's, I think she's just about the best there is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we both got to meet two of our fans, and that's all that we can ask. Well, I thank you so much, Jay Hughley. I adore you. You've done such a great job on the show, as you do in every single part. And I look forward to seeing you tonight at 10 o'clock. Well, you won't be on there. Your fourth episode, you're coming in. But I look forward to watching Treme tonight, 10 o'clock, HBO. And you have to, because on the fourth episode, you're going to see Jay Hughley, who gave a great interview. We also want to look out for him in 12 Years a Slave, which is coming out
next year.
We got to wait to see Joe Hughley in 12 Years a Slave with Brad Pitt and Michael Fassbender and Paul Giamatti, and also in Joe's Mountain. Please keep in touch with me.
I will. This is such a pleasure, Priscilla. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for a great interview. Say goodbye to your fans and give them a message.
Oh, God. You know, follow your dreams. Stick with it. And don't get discouraged.
Absolutely, Jay Hughley. Thank you so much. We hope you come back next year to promote 12 Years a Slave and Joe's Mountain.
I'd love to. Thanks, Priscilla.
Thank you, Jay. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.